This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Hey, our guest is here today, and she's going to spotlight a dedicated group who cares for your pets, our pets. She serves as president of the oldest professional pet sitting association on the planet. Please give pause and applause to my friend, the president of the Pet Sitters International, Beth Stoltz. Welcome back to our show, Beth.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, you know, 30 years, everyone, 30 years, mark that down, 1994. What were y'all doing back then? Well, back then there was an idea that was germinating, and it was like, we need to add professional to caretaking pets in their own homes. And that is how Pet Sitter International was born. And I'm hoping, Beth, you can give us a little history back in time. We're going to be in a time travel machine. Are you geared up for that?
I absolutely am. I love to tell the story. And I know you know our founder, Patty Moran. And so in the 80s, yes, actually, after a corporate layoff, Patty was looking for a new passion and where her career would go after that layoff. And so she sort of identified that that need of, well, what are people doing when they travel with their pets? Do they have, without their pets, do they have someone reliable? And so she had the idea to start a pet sitting business. And that was in the 80s. But as news started traveling about that, she started getting calls at her pet sitting business from around the country. Not people wanting to use her service, but saying, how do I do this? You know, well, how could I make this a business myself?
And this was back in the day where you had to pick up a landline, right?
Yes. And they were looking in the yellow
and
pages.
And actually dial.
Yeah. We're using yellow pages and telephones. Absolutely. And so, but as you can imagine, when she first started, no one had really heard of this idea on a professional level. So she had to struggle to find business resources that were specific to a pet care business, insurance, which is so important for professional pet sitters and dog walkers. But ultimately, she was getting questions from around the country, around the world. And so she wrote her first book, Pet Sitting for Profit. And then that's what eventually led to the creation of our association. And so we are excited to celebrate 30 years on March 17th. So we're saying 3 decades of pet sitting excellence.
Oh, that's awesome. And I want to get it back in context, you know, because this is another example, everyone out there, that something happens. You think you're on this one career path. You get thrown a curveball. You can sit and pout, or as Patty did, you can create a whole new industry. I know she has to be one of your go-to mentors, admirers. Tell us, how has she impacted you and how you do things in life?
Absolutely. And I love what you just said, is she's such a shining example of, you know, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. But she really took time when she was laid off. She goes into detail in some of her past, in her book and some past talks, that she actually, because of the corporate layoffs where she worked, she had to take part in those layoffs and letting people go. So she experienced that herself before she was let go herself. And so that really gave her, she said she really knew she had to stop and think, where do I want my life to go after this? And so just like you said, she didn't let it get her down, and she really used it to not only create a new business or a new job for herself, she created an industry. So I always say that I
am
Patty's
amazing.
I'm Patty's biggest fangirl. She is such a, I will talk about her whenever I get the chance, but she is such an idea person. And what I love about what she did is not only did Patty find success as a pet sitting business owner, she so freely shared what she learned with other people. And her goal was always, I had to go through these hard steps of really navigating an uncharted business idea. And so she doesn't want other people to have to do that. And so that's why she wrote her book. She made her forms available. She started the association. And I do talk to her sometimes, and I say, well, you know, how do you feel to think that tens of thousands of people have started a pet sitting business since that time because of your idea? And she's just so gracious, and she still just wants to help in any way that she can.
And probably hundreds of thousands of people with pets have used Pet Sitters International services that are licensed, insured, and bonded, right? Do you ever get a number about how many clients you've helped?
Hundreds of thousands, as you said, are the word we have. You know, we do our survey. And so each of our members, they're serving, you know, a few hundred at minimum per year. So they're doing thousands of pet sitting visits every year. So let's go back to 1994. Those numbers just add up and add up. But we do like to tell our members that, you know, they're making the world a better place for pets and their people. And that's sort of a mission that I think we all keep in mind.
Well, I'm laughing because Pet Safety Cat Casey is all ears listening to you, Beth, and I hope his purrs don't overgo my voice on this magic microphone, but you had him at meow. What do you think about caring for all kinds of pets? Yeah, he's trying to ask a question. What is it? He goes, okay. He wants to know, Beth, what you were doing in 1994.
In 1994, I was actually starting high school. That's what I was doing. I was starting high school in 1994.
It wasn't even a blip on your screen.
It was not on my radar. I was starting high school at that time, as I think about the year. And I had no idea that I would be so fortunate to fast forward through high school and then college to learn about PSI. And yeah, I started at PSI in member services right out of college. And could not have guessed at that time how that would also completely change my path in life.
Now, you went to the University of North Carolina, right?
Yes.
Chapel Hill?
Go Heels.
Nice. And so what was your aspirations when you're about to walk across that graduation stage? What were you wanting to do?
Oh, when I initially started college, my plan was to be a high school English teacher. And then I decided that that would not be my plan. And so I came out of college, I graduated knowing that I wanted to work. My initial idea was I wanted to work in something, and at that point, it could have been anything that would help impact women. And so that was for my initial idea. Of course, the professional pet sitting industry is largely female-based. Of course, we love all pet sitters.
You love dudes, too. It's okay.
Yeah. I was also a huge animal lover. And so, like I said, the way everything fell together, Pet Sitters International is, of course, an international organization, but it was founded actually in the county that I was born and raised. And so everything just fell together. I saw it going back to 2004 when I started. I saw a job ad in a newspaper. So that's going back too, not online, but there was a job
ad in the paper.
It was the ad in our county newspaper. I saw the ad, international organization, and I thought that sounds interesting. And so I emailed my resume in, and the rest is history.
By then we had email. Yeah, 2004 we had email, but we also had Skype and all this other. It sounded like a hamster getting choked. You know, when you ever had to do, you did a lot of faxing back then too, right?
There was a lot of faxing. Now for my interview, I emailed, I called, and then I had an in-person interview. So no Skype, but yep. And then the rest is history. I've been there. I always say I came to PSI and I never left.
Well, so kudos to you because this is your 20th anniversary, right?
It will be in September. Yes.
And you started out, what was your first position?
Member services. I was a member services coordinator. So I was answering phones, answering emails, just for basic member questions.
But you didn't have to grade high school essays.
I did not. And I feel very fortunate for that at this point. When I look back, I think what a great decision I made.
Well, what we're doing here, everyone, is taking a walk down memory lane. And we're speaking with Beth Stoltz. She rose up the ranks and she's now president of Pet Sitters International. And I believe, is it petsit.com? Petsit.com. We're going to dive in a little bit more about some of the things that you may be surprised to know some members in Pet Sitters International that you think they just take care of dogs and cats. Oh, no, they do much more. And how they have evolved to becoming the largest professional pet sitting association in the whole world. So, you all know the drill. We're going to, because Casey's here, we're going to sit and purr, and we'll be right back.
Time for a walk on the red carpet, of course. All Behave will be back in a flash right after these messages.
What's up, pet pals? Arden Moore here, your host of the O Behave Show. Me? Wow. Did you know there's up to 100 million free roaming cats in the United States? And without spay or neuter, that number is only going to keep growing. Not only does spay neuter humanely reduce the community cat population, it keeps cats healthy. Scooter, the neuter cat, is on a mission to give cats an extra life by making it hip to be snipped. Hey, check them out. Go to givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org and help us make this a better world for cats.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi, this is Jen Davis, the creator of Garfield, urging you to listen to the Oh Behave Show with Arden Moore on Pet Life Radio.
Oh, yeah? We'll see about that.
We're back from the lot. Just checked the paper and we had a record showing at the box. The letterbox, that is. Now back to Oh Behave. Here's Arden.
Welcome back to the Oh Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore, and I got my buddy here. Her name is Beth Stoltz. She is the president of Pet Sitters International. And I'm remembering back in the day where you had a surprise guest at one of your conferences, and it was Garfield, the cartoon cat from Jim Davis created. He's from Indiana, like me. Do you remember that conference?
I do. That was, I'm going to say it's 2010. It was in San Diego. I actually laugh about it. I'm surprised you remember that. But it was funny because a lot of people don't know. We were sent the outfit directly from Jim Davis's organization. You have to sign a contract. At that time, at least, you have to sign a contract to wear the uniform. There are only certain hand gestures you're allowed to make. There are only certain phrases you can say.
So they had some legal beagles for that fat feline.
Definitely. And so I do laugh looking back because that's when I do point to that still. So it's so funny you brought it up because I tell Patty that's the moment when she should have realized that I would do anything for PSI because I'm very claustrophobic. And if you've ever been in a full fur suit with a huge hat. Yeah. But it was a fun experience. I got to be Garfield.
Well, that's what I was trying to bring out. It's like you got to be Garfield. And that's most of us just had Garfield stuck in the on our window, in our back window in our cars on suction cups. But you actually got to channel your inner Garfield.
I did. It was actually fun. We, PSI that year had partnered with Jim Davis and the Garfield brand for some materials. And so we got to meet Jim Davis, which was a great experience and work with some of his creative team. So, yes, but wearing the costume was, I guess, the icing on the cake that year.
Oh, my gosh. So there's a lot of things that you can tout about PSI, but I want to give people kind of an overview. What's the makeup of members of PSI? Have you got some things to share that might surprise people or confirm? I don't know. You've got members in every state. How many countries?
As you mentioned, PSI is the world's largest educational association for pet sitters. We have members in every state in the U.S. We have members in the U.S., Canada, and currently 20 other countries.
Wow. What would be a country that might surprise people?
I'm trying to think what would be a surprise. I'm trying to think when I was looking today. I mean, we're everywhere from Singapore, Japan, Australia. So just a variety. And it's exciting to see it start to grow in different countries. But we have members from all over. And what I love, too, is not only are they geographically diverse, we have members from all walks of life. And so, we have, as I think a lot of people would expect, we have some people who started pet sitting businesses that came from maybe the veterinary industry, veterinarians, vet techs, which makes sense. A lot of people come from the corporate world and they want to use their business savvy to really create a business they love. We've had a rocket scientist. Always love to mention that one, that they were formerly a rocket scientist, which I think is interesting. But from all walks of life, from stay-at-home moms to government workers, but they've all decided to leave those previous careers or paths in life to really pursue their passion. And so that's really exciting for us.
No, I like that because, sometimes we do reinvent yourself. I'll tell you, when I started off, I was a newspaper reporter. That's all I thought I would be. I covered Super Bowls. I covered serial killers. I covered all kinds of things. I never would have guessed that I'm now 25 years in the pet industry as a radio show host, pet first aid, write books and all that. So it's weird, isn't it, how life can throw you a curveball or there's something in your head, which I'm assuming a lot of the members get this feeling. Is this really what I want to do, right? And I'm sure you hear some reasons why people come to PSI, correct?
We do. I think there's definitely that feeling of, is there something more, wanting something more out of life and really wanting to find a way to combine your career with your passion. I think we're hearing that even more after the pandemic. I think people had so much time to really think about what do I really, what are my values? What are my priorities? And so I think that small businesses in general appeal to our members and people at large because you are your own boss. You're setting your schedule and you're getting to choose the types of clients you want to work with. And then you add pets into that mix, which bring people such joy. It really is just such a great combination for people looking to make a change.
So let's spotlight some folks. You just, every year, your association names the Pet Sitter International Pet Sitter of the Year. And they have come from solo practices to mega practices all over the place. Tell us a little bit about this year's recipient and what was the occupation prior to becoming a professional pet sitter.
So our 2024 Pet Sitter of the Year is Bobby Wilson, and she co-owns Peace Love Paws Pet Sitters in Missouri with her husband, Scott. I loved her background. As you said, we have pet sitters who have won that award from across the country, different professions. She spent a decade as a home inspector. She was one of the only certified home inspectors in mid-Missouri for years at the time she worked. And so they were home inspector for years. And what I love about her story is that she's able to transfer those skills to her pet sitting business. And so she works a lot with her clients on, here are the things I do, safety checks at your home. She's been teaching other pet sitters that as well because she has that unique perspective from her previous career. So she's presented a session for us. Yeah, you can bring so many, whatever profession you came from. Of course, every pet sitter needs to have a pet care experience, pet care education. But there are so many soft skills from other occupations that you can bring to this industry that really set your business apart. And Bobby's a great example of that.
I like that she gave a talk on it because I can imagine there is a running toilet or she smells gas or there's a frayed wire. I mean, you are the eyes and ears when you walk into a client's home to take care of their pets.
Exactly. And so and most pet sitters, of course, think of the basics. They want to make sure there are no open doors, open windows. If there's a fence, is it secure? But there's so many little things of, what do you do if you go inside the home and there's water all over the floor or if you need to find the breaker? And so things like that, just questions that maybe someone hasn't thought to ask if they don't have that prior experience. And so Bobby's done a really great job of educating other members and other pet sitters on that.
And I know we're going to say a nasty word, Rover. There are some companies out there that are not Pet Sitter International. They're not licensed, insured, and bonded. People sometimes say, this kid down the street can watch my dogs, or this other company, they're cheap. Here's your time to tell us why we need to invest in our most priceless asset, and that is our pets.
When I talk to any pet parent, the way that I explain it to them is, of course, we love our pets and we want them to have the best care. And I think sometimes pet parents simply don't know what to ask or what to look for. So my advice is always to don't choose convenience over finding the best option. We always recommend a locally based professional pet sitter or dog walker. You want someone that's insured, bonded, that has pet care experience. If they have insurance, it's specific to a pet care business. We also tell pet parents, always make sure you meet the pet sitter in advance. Have that initial consultation. Because even if a pet sitter has a great educational background and even business credentials, they still may not be the best fit for you and your pet. So you want to have that rapport. And there'll always be pet parents we know who will use a neighbor or a friend. And I understand the convenience of that. But the stories we like to tell sort of cautionary. I cannot tell you the number of times in my almost 20 years at PSI that we've heard from pet parents who've had friendships broken over pet sitting experiences. Because, your friend or your neighbor may love your pet, have pet care experience, but if something goes wrong, a faucet is left running and the floors are damaged, they're not insured for that type of service. And so we've really heard of friendships being ruined. So we just tell pet parents, take time to do your research because we know they want the best for their pets.
Oh, I like that. I like that. And there are some professional pet sitters out there that can buy a fancy latte without hesitation. Tell us, because people may be surprised, you can make a living.
You can. I think that somehow, even after 30 years, there's still the perception that maybe pet sitting is just a side gig. Yeah. But that's not true. Our members, this is their career. And so we conduct at PSI the State of the Industry Survey. We're actually conducting this year's right now. But looking at last year's survey, the average revenue for pet sitters in the U.S. was almost $95,000. And if you compare that to our previous survey in 2019, that's up 25%. So pre-pandemic, the average salary was right at $76,000, but now $95,000 in last year's survey is the average revenue. So of course, that varies by where you're located, the size of your business, but certainly this is a career. It's not a hobby. That's not a side job. And so for those who want to make it a business, there's money to be made.
I'm just wondering if that nearly $95,000, that's above the average income, isn't it, for most Americans?
It is. And what we found, even and surveys have shown this time and again, even when people are budgeting for various things or maybe cutting costs, people tend to continue to spend on their pets. And especially once travel opened back up after the pandemic, people are willing to spend on their pets, but they're wanting to travel. And so business for pet sitters is really booming right now.
Oh, man. Well, there's also a couple other people that are members of PSI that have kind of unique backgrounds or do unique things. You want to showcase a couple more?
Sure. You know, I was talking earlier about people coming from diverse backgrounds. Another thing I love about, I think the pet care industry in general, I think we're so innovative. It's the pet industry at large. And we see this in pet sitters and dog walkers too. So we have members who have started out, of course, offering the basic services that you would think of, pet sitting, dog walking, maybe overnight visits. But depending on the needs of their clients and in their community, they've evolved to offer additional services. So I know one that we had spoke about was Nicole Packin, who's in Texas. She has the Packin Method, so it's a mobile canine gym. And so that's great for people with dogs who need additional exercise, is she comes to them. And so that's not a service you basically get aware.
Yeah, she has like a treadmill in her van, air-conditioned, climate-controlled. She has a giant dog named Kevin. I've actually been in the Packin Method van, and you can get your walk on.
Yeah, it's amazing. I saw the van last year, and the setup is amazing. But I love how she realized that there was a need for that type of service that maybe wasn't addressed by your standard dog walking service. And so there's so many ways to evolve and diversify your service offerings in the pet, you know, if you have a pet care business.
So somebody is using electromagnetic field?
Yeah, I love it. So we have a member, Annie Thomas. She's in Florida, Leashes to Leave. But she offers, and I always make sure I say this correctly, MagnaWave. And so it's an electromagnetic field pulsation for pets. And it stimulates cell metabolism. So it's mostly for pets that have maybe injuries or joint issues. But she can use that on horses. She can use that on dogs. And so she was especially trained to operate that that equipment and said the service is really growing in her area. But again, she saw a need that maybe most people wouldn't think about and added that to her service offerings.
You do normally, the bulk is cats, dogs, but
yes,
share some other types of critters that your members are caring for and the fact that they have continued education opportunities at PSI.
Absolutely. So of course, as you said, as you would imagine, cats and dogs would be the top pets cared for. But more than a half of our members are also offering services for birds, freshwater fish, saltwater fish, cage pets, pocket pets, exotics, reptiles. So it runs that whatever type of pet you have, you will likely find a professional pet sitter in your area that can offer services.
So you don't have lions or bears, oh my.
Not for pet sitting services that I'm aware of, but we do have, we've had multiple former zookeepers over the years start pet sitting businesses. So I'm sure they have that experience.
So what advice do you give people who have pets? What's a good question to ask someone you're interviewing before you decide if they can be coming into your home caring for their pets while you're not home?
You know, of course, they're the basic questions that I've mentioned. Are they insured, bonded? Are they trained in pet first aid? But I would also ask about the pet sitter's specific experience with your pet type. And if your pet has any special needs, you need to communicate that. And then another question that I think pet parents and sometimes pet sitters don't think about is, what is their communication style? Because if I'm a pet parent and I'm traveling, do I want you to text me at every visit? Do I not want to be contacted unless there's an emergency? So even communication style is a question you should ask, but definitely look for someone that's insured, bonded, background checked, that can provide references if needed, and that also has pet care training and experience and continues that education on a regular basis.
Well, you've come a long way, Pet Sitters International. Salute to Patty Moran and to you. Where do you see professional pet sitting going in the next decade or two? Because you're probably going to still be there. You're young.
But some days I don't feel like it, but I don't feel young. But absolutely, you know, I'm excited. When we talk about, especially having sort of a milestone of the 30 years this year, of course, we're thinking about the next decade. And it's so exciting. I think coming out of the pandemic and seeing how resilient this industry was, I can't wait to see what's in store the next 10 years, the next 20 years. But I do think our industry is going to continue. We place such an emphasis on professionalism and education. And I think those two elements are going to continue to be so important because businesses are going to diversify to make sure they can offer the best care to all types of pets. That continuing education is going to be so important. And I'm seeing the commitment to that. Anytime I speak to members, that is their top priority. And so we expect it to continue to grow more and more in the coming decade.
So last question, would you ever put yourself inside a Garfield costume again?
If Patty Moran asked me to do it, yes, I would. And anything for our members. So absolutely.
Hey, everyone, we're speaking with Beth Stultz. She is the president of Pet Sitters International. Please visit petsit.com. You survived another chat with me, Beth.
It's always a pleasure.
And at this time, I also want to do a shout out to my producer, Mark Winter. He is the executive producer of Pet Life Radio, the largest pet radio network on the planet. And we were honored by being named the number one pet podcast for 2023 by FeedSpot. And we are, this show right here, right now with Mark, we are the longest running weekly pet podcast in the whole world.
Congratulations, well deserved.
It's an honor, and we do appreciate it. And we appreciate all of you tuning in. Check out my YouTube channel. It's growing fast. Just go to Arden Moore. Beth, please nod your head and say you will do it. It's free. And I have over 750 videos. They're all pet related and things like that. And check out the other shows on Pet Life Radio. And until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words to all you two, three, and four-leggers out there. Oh, behave.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's All Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.